All right, I'm turned on now. At least you just got a workout back there. I thought you was doing jumping jacks in the sound booth. I had no clue you were trying to get my attention. I am so sorry. All right, did you hear anything I said or no? All right, let's just say 1 Samuel 1, stand with us in reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word. So last Sunday, we felt like God did a work in the hearts of our men, and God really began a work. This Sunday, we feel led to bring a word for women today, just a word for women, not just mothers. I've never really been good at, I guess you might say, thematic preaching. In other words, it's a special day, so you preach a message on that day, for that day. I just really go with what the Lord has in our heart. And so we really have a word for women here out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're looking at the story of Samuel. So as we are standing in honor to the reading of God's Word, 1 Samuel 1 verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Benina his wife and all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And when she was in bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on this affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and forget, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, but for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thy petition that thou ask of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And she arose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. You may be seated. May God add the blessing to the reading of His Word. Now, we read this very familiar passage of story, the story of Hannah, Samuel's mother. The Bible says that the Lord shut her womb up. She was barren. She had no child. This had grieved her heart. This, if you notice in this text, the amount of times that weeping or to weep is mentioned in this text. It burdened her, it grieved her all the days of her life. This was a constant thought in her mind. And so what I want to do, and we know as the story played out, let me say this, as the story unfolds, we see that she carries this burden to the Lord again and probably again and probably again. And that one day in her praying, the Lord heard her and granted her her request. And so she received Samuel and had a son. And we know that Samuel become mighty before the Lord. In fact, many times in the Bible, a couple of times he's just referred to as one of the first prophets that's in God's Word. So let's think just a minute about Hannah, if you will. And let's think about our hearts today, if you will. Last Sunday, God dealt with, the struggles deep down inside of a man's heart. And the reason I think we're here today is this. I believe that there are several things that we must do in our lifetime to free us and let us worship God as He so desires to worship, and let us walk into His will for our life, His destiny, His plan for us. A couple of those things we were talking in the fellowship hall downstairs as the men met down there and prayed this morning. Number one thing is to be saved, to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts at. Like, we've got to know that we know that we know that we know that we have given our heart and our life to Jesus somewhere, sometime that took place. Had a conversation this week with somebody about being saved yesterday. And the fact of the matter is it takes more than just lip service to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Like, we live in the South and in the Bible Belt, so everybody knows church talk or Jesus talk, if you will. But you know, the Bible teaches us that even the demons of hell, they believe. They believe in the fundamentals of the gospel, that Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died, and rose again. But they'll never be saved because they cannot believe. And so listen, to simply just know church talk is not enough. You have got to know that somewhere, sometime, that the Spirit of God convicted you and you got on your knees and you cried to Jesus to save your soul. So that's where it starts at. And listen to me, if you're a man or a woman here today, or a teenage boy or teenage girl here today, and you know that there's never been a place and a time when you have said, Lord Jesus, save my soul, Lord Jesus, then you need to do that today. But that's not what our message is today. We're speaking today of what's next after we're saved. So one of the things then I believe that we need to deal with after God saves our soul, we need to let King Jesus do a work in our hearts and in our lives. Like, He's not just interested in just simply getting you into heaven. He is interested in giving you abundant life in this life. Well, what happens, unfortunately, in this life is exactly that. Life happens. And boy, I want you to know this, that is not always easy. It's certainly not always fair. We certainly don't always get what we ask for in life. And it would be nice if everybody that stood by our side and said they was a friend was a friend. But life is hard sometimes. Sometimes we find ourselves alone. God saves us, and then God deals with the things inside of us. He's the great physician. He is the healer. He is the one who heals, the God who heals. I'm glad He heals physical infirmities. We're speaking of miracles on Wednesday nights, the miracles of Jesus. But I'm also glad that He heals what's on the inside of us that needs to be healed. And so I want to speak to women just for a few minutes as we look at a woman in Scripture whose heart was hurting, whose heart was broken, who had carried for much of her adult life this pain of being barren and not able to have children. While she watched everyone around her being blessed, she wondered inside of her heart, God, why me? If you're a woman here today, then you at some point have probably asked that same question, Lord, why me? In fact, we see Hannah, this burdened woman, weeping over and over several times throughout this text. It is as if her weeping was not just on the outside where tears roll down her face, but her weeping was deep on the inside. And anything that come to her eyes, come to her cheeks, it had come from deep within her. If you're a woman here today, I assure you of this. Somewhere, sometime, you've been familiar with crying. If you've got children, then you've cried. If you've got a husband, then you've cried. Say amen, ladies. Well, you men, I think we're learning. We can kind of do that to you on Sunday mornings because the women are the amen corner, apparently. If you've been a best friend, ladies, to someone, then you've cried. And so we see Hannah, this woman who is burdened, this woman who has this heartache, this woman who is carrying this pain. Who does she tell it to and who does she go to? And we find her, she comes to the temple, she comes before the Lord, and she's in a passionate prayer meeting because of the hurt that is deep down within her. And ladies, here's what you need to understand is God has given women this nurturing, this mothering attitude, this nurturing, mothering heart, this nurturing, mothering spirit. Even if you've not been able to have children, as I said a while ago, you have more than likely, you have mothered someone within your family, maybe nieces or nephews or a neighbor's kid or somebody that's close to you. You've been as a mother figure to somebody. God has given every woman that kind of spirit and that kind of desire. That's why little girls, they play with baby dolls. They walk around with baby dolls. And unless you're around my house when the girls were little, then the girls took my little squirrel dog and put him in a baby stroller and stuck a little pacifier in his mouth and took pictures of him. How embarrassing. And then the little dog would go to missing and we'd go back through the house and couldn't find him, but he'd be up in that baby stroller on his own. He made a bed out of it. He's a sissy dog by every means. But you see little girls playing with baby dolls. Why? Because God's given them a spirit of nurturing and of mothering. But ladies, I want you to understand too that what happens in life is this. Life happens. Life's not been fair. Maybe it started in your childhood. Maybe it started in your teenage years. Maybe it started in a first marriage or in your 20s. Life happened. I couldn't even begin to say or to tell what it may be. But somewhere along the way, something happened to you that marked your heart, that hurt and wounded your soul, that caused you great grief and great pain. And yeah, you didn't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. You would have chosen another path. You didn't want it. But it's what life dealt you, and you had to carry on. And because you're a mother, and because you're a woman, you've got to function. You've got to go. You've got to do. You can't slow down. You can't back up. So all the while, you're carrying that hurt, that ache, that pain. But here's what happens in women. That mothering, nurturing attitude and spirit that God give you. What happens if you're not careful is when you've been hurt and when you carry pain in your heart, listen to me, what you hold close to you, you will nurture and it will grow. Are you following me so far, ladies? You have that baby, that child of yours. You hold that baby close to you. You touch that baby. You feed that baby. You care for that baby. You nurture that baby. And as a result, that baby grows. But if it's pain and if it's hurt and if it's heartache and if it's a piercing of your soul, as the Bible speaks of Mary, and you hold that close to you and you pull that into you and you nurture that and you think on that, then it will grow inside of you. And ladies, you never slow down long enough to be able to deal with that, to be able to bring it to King Jesus and let the Lord take that hurt and take that pain and let Him heal you and let Him mend you. And that's the nature of a mother, the nature of a woman. Boy, listen, men, I'm about to admit some shameful things on this stage. I done told you I had a sissy dog. But there is a such thing as a man cold, guys. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we get sick and we get a cold and we have to sit down for a couple hours, get a headache. You know, got to get into bed for a day or two. Women, mothers, what do? They get the flu and double pneumonia, COVID-19 on top of it, and they got a baby on one hip, a vacuum cleaner, and then another, and then they got a phone to their ear where they're talking to the tax office trying to settle a debt or trying to settle a bill. They can do it all at one time. You know what I'm talking about, men? Yeah. And so you're nurturing this hurt, this heartache. And ladies, you got to understand this as we, and it's as we dealt with men last week, that you've got this inside of you. You need to know that somewhere, sometimes it comes out. And that pain that you've never let King Jesus deal with, it will affect who you are in Christ Jesus. It will affect what you do, what you say. It'll give you the attitude that you have sometimes, because you're carrying this hurt inside of you that nobody knows about. And all these years, you've just been nurturing it, nurturing it, nurturing it. And it's grown and it's grown and it's grown. And I want to tell you what Hannah did with her pain. She got up, she made her way to the house of the Lord. And isn't it something? Now, friends, listen to me. I want to stress here the importance of being in God's house. The Bible, I believe, paints a high picture of the importance of church in the eyes of God. Not only is it a scriptural mandate, but we see that it's at the Lord's house where there's so much help, there's so much healing, and there's so much encouragement. And together we praise, and together we pray, and together we share our joys and the victories in Jesus, and together we share our brokenness, and God ministers in that. God has a purpose for us being here. The Hannah makes her way to the house of the Lord. She falls in the altar. She's praying in such a way. Now watch this. In such a way that Eli, he's watching. And he says, my goodness, I've never seen a woman pray like that before. She's drunk. What's going on with her, the way she's acting? She's under the influence. And he asks her about it, and she says, no, I've not been drinking, but I'm just broken. I'm just broken, and I'm seeking the Lord. And so what the Lord does is, through her prayer and through her praying, he gives her a word. Watch. He gives her a word. And that word is, your prayers have been answered. I've heard what you have prayed. And then you know the rest of the story. She goes back. It's interesting to note she's not yet received word. She's not yet received the promise. She's not taking a pregnancy test yet. But she gets up the next day and she worships the Lord. And I want to say this, that is really a definition of worship, by the way. She hadn't got what she needed yet. She hadn't got what she wanted yet. She hadn't even got what she had been promised yet. But you know what she said? She said, I'm still going to worship Him. And again, it's easy for us to worship whenever a check's come in the mail. It's easy to throw our hands up and worship when the doctor has called and said, hey, good news, the reports are clear. It's easy to throw our hands up in worship when we've got a promotion on our job. But what do you do when those things don't come through? What do you do when you're still waiting on a report? What do you do when you still have a bill to be paid? What do you do when life's falling apart? Well, here's what Hannah did. She had got a word from Jesus, but she still worshiped Him the next day. And so she worships. And then the Bible says that her and her husband conceived. And then she received the promise that God had given her. I can tell you what God has promised you today. Jeremiah says it best, that God has a plan for you, and it's plans to prosper you, to do you good, because He is a good, good Father, and to bless you and your family and your children and your grandchildren. God has a promise for you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. You need to get that. But as the enemy took what was the sore place in Hannah's heart, as the enemy took the pain in Hannah, as the enemy took the hurt in Hannah's heart, and he stirred it up, and he stirred it up, and he stirred it up, God had something better in store for her. He had deliverance for her and healing for her and a plan for her. And I want you to know something. What the enemy does when you have that in your heart and you have nurtured it through the years, and that pain's not subsided at all, but that pain has grown and that pain has festered. And what the enemy does is he reminds you of it, and he pokes you with it, and he prods you with it, and he moves you with it, and he changes you with it. But that's not God's desire. That's not God's plan for you. God's desire for you is to let the healer, to let the great physician work on that which is inside of you. Because listen to me, I pray, it's my prayer that every woman in here wants to be used by God in some way. But before God uses you in some way, don't ever forget those three works of God. The work that God did for you when he died on the cross on Calvary. And then there's the work that God does in you. And then there's that work God will do through you. And so for every woman in here that says, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. You need to first remember that before God will use you, he's going to do a work in you. And so maybe he brought you here this morning so that he could do a work inside of you. Maybe he brought you here this morning so that he could begin that work of healing deep within you. A word for women, not a word from me, but a word from God's word. So last week, the Lord dealt with us as men, and today the Lord deals with the women in our church. And ladies, listen. The church needs you. Our community needs you. God's got a plan for you, and we need you living out God's plan in the world around you. Jesus himself, he elevated the importance of women in his society. Not only in his society, but in the eyes of God. He elevated the importance of women, the equality of women. That God has his hand on you. That God has used women to move churches, and God has used women to bring heaven down. And God has used women on foreign soils to bring the gospel. God has got his hand and an anointing upon you, ladies. Upon you. And so my question would be this morning is, how long are you going to let the enemy prod you and poke you and provoke you? And he always knows where to poke and where to touch and where to prod. And I assure you it's going to be in that sore place in your heart. It's going to be in that place in your heart where that pain is and where that struggle is and where that heartache is. That's the place that the enemy is going to torment you day and night. And I assure you that if you're a woman here today, then you all too well understand weeping. And ladies, just as men do, just as we said last week, you are so good at carrying this pain that you can put your makeup on and fix your hair, and you can hit the road and go to work or come to church, and people look at you and they think that life is wonderful for you, that you have everything perfect. All the while you get in your car and drive down the road and wonder, God, why me? God, why me? Well, I want you to know something, girls. You can come. Or Abigail, you can come. As my heart broke last Sunday for the men of this church, my heart breaks this morning for some of you ladies and some of you women. Because as I said last Sunday, the men of this church, they have struggles that you ladies can't possibly understand. Well, ladies, I acknowledge and yield to the truth that you have pain and struggles that men could never understand. But I want to tell you this morning about a man who knows. A man who knows. His name's Jesus. He's the man who can. He's the man that can touch you, can help you, can heal you. Hannah come to this time in her life, and it was as if she had drew a line in the sand and said, enough is enough. Devil, you have taken me as far as you're going to take me. You have poked me and prodded me in the place that hurts most in my heart. But not anymore. It's not happening anymore. And on that day, she made her way to the house of the Lord. And the Bible says it like this, that the Lord heard her and granted her her request. The Lord granted her her request. Let me go back to that old phrase from the old church and some old timers, if you will. I think it was just the day that Hannah prayed through. So the Bible, King James says the Lord heard her and granted her request. And just in Sedaris version, it's just that, well, Hannah prayed through on that day. She said, not anymore. Not anymore. And yeah, she prayed like a wild woman. She cried and she wept. She didn't care whether she had on waterproof, tearproof makeup or not. But she poured her heart out, her grief, her complaint to the Lord. And it was that day that God did a work in her. And hey, watch, hold on just a minute. You got to see what I'm saying here. And you got to look at that picture. See, this was bigger than Hannah. You understand that, don't you? Like Hannah's needs had to be dealt with. Because see, God knew inside of her there was this mighty prophet about to be raised up. His name was Samuel. Go read his life story. That's your own assignment. Do it on your off time when we leave church today. But God raised up a mighty man of God out of her. And don't you see God's got something he's wanting to do in you? Because there's a work that's going to come out of you that will bring God the glory and that no man can claim credit for but God above. And so what's at issue here and what's at stake here is so much bigger than you. But it could affect an entire church. It could affect a community. It could affect a nation. But you've got to let God work in you first. And ladies, here's what I want to ask you to do today. Teenage girls, here's what I want to ask you to do today. There's an altar up here in front of this church today. Hannah went to the altar and she poured her pain out to the Lord. And maybe that husband didn't know everything that was involved. He couldn't even fathom the pain that she carried. Eli didn't understand what was going on. He thought she had been drinking. But God above knew the pain she brought to him. And when God sees women bring their pain, it moves God out of heaven upon this earth. And God begins to help and God begins to heal because he knows that inside of you something mighty is to come forth. So let God work in you, ladies, so we can see what God does through you and that he may be lifted up and glorified. So Abigail, I'm going to ask you to sing. As soon as you say the first word, you go ahead, stand, and ladies, you come this morning quickly. From the back of the church, the middle of the church, the front of the church, make your way. Touch them, Lord. Yeah, touch them, Lord.